About 25 years ago, I got a phone call about 11 o'clock in the evening. It was one of the gentlemen in my church. He asked if I could come to their house. Their daughter had just come back from college that night, and they wanted to visit with me. They didn't give me any information, just said, "We need you to come." Well, at the time, my son was just a few weeks old. He was colicky. My wife and I hadn't been sleeping. It was a miserable time of life for us as we were running on times, often an hour or two of sleep a night, and we were very exhausted. And so when he asked me to come over at 11 o'clock at night, my first question was, "Oh, can this wait till morning?" And he said, "No." He said, "We need you now." And so I went and sat as I listened to the daughter tell her story of the unexpected pregnancy and how all of her plans and dreams for her future with her boyfriend, with her schooling, how everything was changed because she was quitting school, and mom and dad's plans and dreams, everything they had for their daughter, had been shattered. And they were trying to convince her to go back to school at the end of her for the next semester. And there was a lot of tension in the house. There was anger, there was disappointment, there was resentment. There was every negative emotion that you can think of. And I was called into this day. I'm not sure exactly what they expected me to do. But as I sat and listened, I saw a broken family. And I saw anything but joy. It should be that the announcement of a pregnancy is a joyful time. It should be that the announcement of a pregnancy brings great excitement and support and encouragement and hope. And yet, in this situation, the announcement of the pregnancy broke a family. And I found myself sitting in the middle of it. Two 2,000 years before, there was an announcement of a pregnancy. And I can't imagine what it was like for Mary as she heard those words. We have recorded in Scripture her response of one of humility and humbleness and recognizing how great God is and what He was going to do. But can you imagine trying to explain to your soon-to-be husband, Joseph, "Joseph, I'm pregnant"? Can you imagine the news of that pregnancy as it reached Joseph's ears of his wife-to-be that he was so looking forward to spending his life with, now all of his dreams and all of his hopes shattered, laying on the floor in disappointment and anger and probably even disgust as he tried to figure out what was going on? You see, these broken moments of life that we have to respond to in our human emotions, that we have to respond to in our understanding and our perspective of what we see going on, oftentimes as we look at that, if we're honest with ourselves, the idea of joy is far from us. And yet the message of Christmas, the message that we're going to look at this morning, is this message that the arrival of this baby boy brings joy. And the reality for you and I, and for many circumstances that we find ourselves in, we experience these moments in life that shatter us, that break us, And we fail to see the joy. And yet here we find a story, a situation with Mary, eventually with Joseph, with their family, and with the whole world, where joy overcomes the most difficult of situation in life. So as we look at this passage this morning, I'm going to invite you to Luke chapter 2. Many of us are, again, familiar with the Christmas story this morning. We're only going to look at verses 8 through 12. We're going to skip ahead of the part of the announcement of Jesus. We're going to skip ahead of the part of the census and the crowded inn and the manger and the baby Jesus being born to Mary. And we're going to pick it up in verse 8. So if you'd turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region as where Mary gave birth to Jesus, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and they were keeping their watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Father, as we look at this passage this morning, I pray that you would help me to speak the truth of your word, that you would help our hearts to receive the joy that can be found in this proclamation and this announcement by the angels to the shepherds on that night outside of Bethlehem. Lord, may you bless the teaching of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning as we look at this passage, we're going to break down a few of the statements that are in here and see how they apply to us, and to understand more so than just some shepherds sitting out in a field and seeing a bright light with this announcement. I want us to recognize, first of all, this morning that joy is initiated by God. Joy is initiated by God. There is a difference between joy and happiness. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit as we get a little further in. But joy is something that only comes from a relationship with God. Now, there are many people who would argue that. They say, "Oh no, I'm very joyful." And yet, when the tough times of life come, they struggle, and that lack of joy is there. You see, it's easy to be influenced in the emotion of happiness and confuse that for joy, but once those circumstances change, the question is, does joy really reside in our hearts? On this night, for the shepherds, as they're out in the fields outside of Bethlehem, and as we sang earlier in the silent quiet of the night, the shepherds were not out looking for anything in their life. They were not out saying, "You know what? We are lacking joy in our lives and we need to find it." No, they were just going about their mundane routine job of sitting outside of the field and outside of the city, taking care of the flock, making sure they're protected, making sure they're fed, making sure that everything is okay. They weren't seeking after joy, but joy came looking for them by this announcement from the angels. In verse 10, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I bring to you." You see, so often we go searching for things in life thinking it can be found. So often we go looking for the things that we think will bring us joy or fulfillment. I know in my early years when I was in my college days trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, I was first trying to figure out, I love making things and I love how things are made, and so I want to be manufacturing industrial manufacturing. Words were slipping me. They're not an engineer. I'm not smart enough to be an engineer, so I knew I could never do that. But I thought I could be industrial manufacturing. I can learn how these machines work. And so I started on this route of learning CNC programming and being able to control and be a machinist and learn all this and drafting and CAD. And I was so excited about it. But I found myself just being empty. I thought, no, that's not it. So then I started pursuing this route of being a teacher because I'd started coaching junior high basketball and I loved it. I thought, well, maybe I can be a teacher. And so I started down that path. I thought, no, that's just leaving me empty. It's not bringing that fulfillment and that joy. And so all the while through college, I was working at Walmart and I thought, well, maybe this is it. They'd asked me to get in the Walmart management program. And so I started to pursue that. And I just thought, no, that's not it. And I was just lacking it. I came to this place where every path that I thought was leading me to joy and to a future that I was going to say, oh, yes, this is going to bring fulfillment, and every one of them just brought emptiness. And I remember on a late Saturday night sitting on a country road when the Lord just spoke to me and said, I want you to go into ministry. It was the, if I can use this word, it was the stupidest idea that had ever entered my mind. I wasn't raised in a church. I wasn't this great knowledge of the scriptures. But yet the Lord in that moment spoke to me. And for the first time, I felt joy about what my life was going to. I found that purpose. I found this. This is what God wants for me. You see, I didn't go... I spent years trying to chase it, but it was when I quit trying to chase it, and I said, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what you want from me. That's when he came, and he said, I can do this. And so as I then when I got married, went off to college and pursued Bible college and later seminary and did all my studies, there's been nothing greater joy than to be able to do that. Now, it's not always been easy, and it's not always been fun. But joy was something that God gave me in that. And it was announced to the shepherds that night. I said, look, we are bringing you a message of joy. They didn't go looking for it. It came to them. And it interrupted their fear. When they first saw the light, when they first saw the angel of the Lord appear before them and this glory shining around them, they were afraid. There was this fear. And oftentimes for you and I, we experience fear in life. Circumstances, all of a sudden around us, things change. This past week, I spoke at a mortuary there in Inman Funeral Home. They were doing a remembrance service. They brought all the people who had lost loved ones that they had served in the last year, and they brought them together to just have this ceremony of remembrance. And I shared a message there, a little devotional. And as I looked around the room, there were different emotions. Some of them, they were broken in tears because they didn't quite have the hope that some of the others had. Some of the others had the joy of being able to say, you know what, I know where my husband is, and he's in a much better place. But all of these people in this year had their lives interrupted. Their lives were interrupted by things around them all of a sudden changing. There was fear for some of them because their husband, their child, their friend was no longer with them. It's going to be the first Christmas. And some of you are there as well. Some of you, this year has been tough for you. Those unexpected announcements of maybe it's a death, maybe it's the unexpected announcement of cancer. Maybe it's the unexpected announcement of a loss of a job or a loss of a friendship, a loss of a marriage. There's all sorts of things that come along that our circumstances change and we face life with fear. We say, what's next? We don't know what's going on. What do we do? You see, fear is a natural response to our circumstances around us changing rapidly. And it's the first response that we see from the shepherds as they're sitting there in the quietness of the night, and all of a sudden there's this interruption into their lives of this angel speaking to them, which, by the way, every time in the Bible when an angel speaks to a human, the human is fearful. It scares the living daylights out of them. So when somebody says that I had an angel visit me, sometimes I question, was it really an angel or was it just God sending a human messenger to encourage you or whatever? But when the glory of the Lord shines through an angel in the scriptures, every single person drops to their knees in fear. And so here's what we see with the shepherds. They drop to their knees, they're scared, and fear is this natural response. But here's the thing about joy. Joy overcomes fear. Joy overcomes fear. So joy in this moment, as is announced by heaven, will overcome the fear that the shepherds have in this moment, and they're able to receive this message. And so for you and I, as we think about the joy in our lives, as we think about how do we find that joy in the midst of unexpected life situations, starts for you and I by listening and by hearing the message, the words that God has for us. For the shepherds, whatever their conversation might have been in that moment, perhaps they were sleeping, perhaps they were sitting around a little campfire, who knows what they were doing in that moment when the angels came. But as God speaks, are we listening? So the first part of this announcement is initiated by God. The second part is that we find that the message is rooted in good news. Joy is rooted in good news. So the angels proclaim, I bring to you good news of great joy. What is the good news? Something you and I understand today as we are on the back end of the experience of Jesus being born into this world, living his life, and then dying on the cross. The good news is the evangelism that you, angelion, which is the Greek word, says, I bring you good news, that is, that Jesus died. This is the gospel. The good news is that God loves you and that Jesus came into this world. And he lived his life for us, the fullness of the gospel. For the shepherds on that night, the good news is that a Savior has come. Hey guys, I got good news for you. Imagine going from fear to the announcement, I've got good news. How quickly their understanding and response may have been changed in that moment. For I bring you good news of great joys, of great joy. This gospel message is a joyful message. It's not a message that is self-produced. It is something that you are receiving. And this idea, I bring you good news. It's a cause. The good news that brings the joy is the cause of this joy that comes. The good news is going to change your life. The good news that you're about to receive is going to bring to you a whole different perspective of life. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel brings you a whole different perspective about the life that you are living and the things that are happening around you. And so this joy is not found by something that we do, not something that the shepherds did, but it's something that they receive that is going to be the cause of a life change. So as he says, I bring you good news of great joy. This idea is not just this moment that's going to happen is going to bring you happiness. It's going to be much deeper, and it's going to supersede all those. Happiness is when something happens to you. Happiness is an emotional response of something happening around you. In happiness, we respond to, hey, I got a raise today. In happiness, we respond to, hey, my kids got an A on their tests. I'm proud of them. Happiness is we won the ball game. Happiness is I'm going to respond to the situations and the circumstances of life. But joy is not a response to. Joy is a cause, is a response derived from a cause that is much greater than our circumstances. And that cause is what Jesus has done for us. And so we can have joy regardless of what the situation around us looks like. This great joy is not a temporary or mild happiness. It's not a relief from our circumstances, although there are many times that we are going in the midst of a battle that we need that relief. We need to be able to step away. We need to say, I can't handle what's going on right now. There's too much. Where do we find the ability to get through those difficult times? Where do we find the opportunity? Well, joy is rooted in the good news. It's rooted in what Jesus has done, not in what we do. So joy is not found by changing our circumstances, but by believing what God has done for us. So the angel goes on to proclaim this message that he brings is good news that will change life for everyone. It is for all the people. It's not just for the super elite. It's not just for a few. It is a message that is for all people. There was a moment I was having a conversation with some people in a former church, and we were talking about somebody in the community who was going through a hard time. And we were discussing as a church, they didn't go to church, they weren't a believer. We were discussing, should we do something to try to help them? Should we reach out to them and try to do something to make their situation better? And I'll never forget, one of the people made the comment. They said, you know what? Let's not waste our time. They're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to respond. They're just going to take whatever we give them and say, yeah, whatever. They won't even say thank you. So let's just not even respond because they're not worth it. Is anybody worth what Jesus has done for us? Have any of us earned that opportunity to deserve what Jesus has done for us? No. You know, sometimes I think one of the dangers of being a believer is starting to think enough of yourself to think that you're better than somebody else. I see that quite often in our Christian culture. In our pursuit of righteousness, in our pursuit of trying to live holy, in our pursuit of trying to separate ourselves from sin and the world around us, we start to take that and we start to not just suppress the sin, but the people, and say, oh, their life is not of value. Oh, they're not worthy. Oh, they're not. And that's the opposite of the gospel message. The gospel message is a message for all people. You see, the angels didn't just come and say, hey, I've got good news. This is going to bring great joy to the rich. Oh, this is going to bring great joy to the middle class. Oh, this is going to be a great tax break for the poor. This is going to be a great... So no, it's for all the people. And the fact that this message is going to the shepherds who were the outcasts, they were the lower class, they were not the elite, they were not the religious best... It's a message of hope for you, the angel says. You see, you're not welcome in the palace. You're not welcome in the high places of the religious elites. You're not even very welcome in the hubbub of the town square because you're nasty shepherds out in the field. You stink. You need a bath. You don't have very good social skills. So you're kind of on the bottom of the totem pole. But I got good news for you. And it's news that will bring great joy. You see, and that's the beauty of the gospel message, is that it's not just for certain people. It's for all of us. It's for every broken person. It's for every person who is running out of hope. It's for every person who needs something deeper than the circumstances around them. And this joy can only be accessed in one way. And it's not through the pursuits of righteousness. It's not through the pursuit of being religious. It's not through the pursuit of fame and fortune. It's not through the pursuit of trying to be somebody important. It's not through the pursuit of success. It's not through the pursuit of being the best dad or husband or friend. There's only one way to access this joy, and that is through Jesus and through the good news of the gospel message. Nothing else can bring you to that place of joy that supersedes all circumstances in life. It is only through a relationship with Jesus. And the reason that is because joy is anchored in a person, and that person is Jesus. Not anchored in a feeling, not anchored in something that we do, but rather anchored in the person of Jesus. Says, I got good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here's the joy. Here's the message of joy. Here's the message that will bring you what you are seeking. Is that today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This Jesus is the source of joy. In this moment, today, not yesterday. You didn't have this yesterday. You didn't have this prior. You see, the Israelites seeked after, they wanted, they desired at times a relationship with God, and they tried to fulfill that through the law, and some of them thought they were pretty good. There were some that thought they were, got it all figured out, and God is pleased with me. All throughout Israel's history, we see the failure. We see a generation that was godly. We see a generation that knew about God, but they didn't know Him. Then we see a generation that neither knew God nor the things that He had done. And then there's a revival, and it starts back over, and this cycle of life happens time and time again. And by the time Jesus comes on the scene, we have this very elaborate worship system. We have a temple where there's the sacrifices. We have the Pharisees who think they're something, and they control everything. We got the priests. We've got this whole order of religion. And yet, through all of that, they don't have access to the true joy that God is about to bring them. Because the shepherd says, today it starts. Today is the opportunity. Today everything is new. Today is the moment that you are able to start to receive joy because a Savior has been born and His name is Jesus. He's Christ the Lord. He's the promised Messiah that you have been looking for. He is here today, and because of that, you are going to be able to have joy. You see, it's rooted in a person. Jesus entered history. It's not an idea. It's not a feeling. It's not a philosophy or a program. It is a person who rescues. Jesus in John chapter 15, and Nolan read this earlier when he was reading the Advent scriptures. In John 15:11, Jesus says, "My joy I give to you." You see, joy is rooted in who Jesus is. It is His character. It is His nature. And He says, with what I am doing with my life, if you abide in me, if you stay connected to me, if you follow my commandments, if you follow my teaching, if you read my words and you hear what I'm saying to you, if you communicate with me in prayer, if you abide in me, then my joy will be in you, and you will be made complete. So I want to ask you this. When the difficult circumstances of life come, where are you seeking your completeness? See, because Jesus says, you can be complete when you receive my joy, which I'm giving you in this relationship. But if we are void of that relationship with Jesus, if we're not, if you are plugged into the source of joy, then we are not going to find joy in the circumstances of life around us when things go bad. There's not going to be joy in our pursuits. There's not going to be joy whenever hard time comes. We're going to respond with the emotion of happiness, sadness, bitterness, frustration, anger. Because it's going to be an emotional response rather than the spiritual response that Jesus gives us in the response of joy. Now, joy is rooted in the gospel. And it's for all of us to experience by believing in Jesus and his promise. And it's anchored in who he is, not who we are, and not what our circumstances is. What our circumstances are. It is truly and fully based on the work of Jesus and what he has done. When you go through a difficult time, and I've had many of them in my life, when you go through the difficult times of the circumstances of life, do you have joy? Can you look around and say, even though all of this, I know it's okay. Through the tears, through the anger, through the frustrations of life, those are all real emotions. And having joy doesn't mean that you never get upset emotionally about anything that's going on around you. But what it does mean is that you have something much deeper and much stronger that will set you free from being controlled by those emotions. And you'll be able to say, you know what? Even in the spite of all of this, God is good. God is good. He is faithful. And I'm going to continue to walk with him. I might be losing money. I might be losing friends. I might be losing my marriage, I might be losing my job, I might be losing all sorts of things. I might be suffering physically, but God is good. And even in the midst of this, I have the joy of Jesus in my life. You see, that's something only a believer can say. If you've gone to a funeral of a person who didn't know Jesus, there's a stark difference between that and going to a funeral of somebody who lived a life in close relationship with Jesus. One can be a worship ceremony, and the other can be a brutal, painful reminder of the hope that people need in life. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. You see, joy from Christ is something you won't get in anything that this world offers. So finally, joy comes through humility. When Jesus entered into this world, verse 12, the shepherds announced, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." When the God of the universe entered into this world, he didn't enter into a palace. He didn't enter in the religious places. He didn't enter in the city square and the market to be celebrated. He entered in the quiet, humble, meek, dirty, stinky stable of some animals, wrapped in what is described not as royal clothing, but simply cloths. Probably dirty, maybe pulled out of a bag from the long travel that Mary and Joseph had been on. Maybe they kept one clean and protected to wrap him in. You see, the reality is this, is that humility is the nature through which God works. God could easily, and he will, when the time is right, we've studied that in the book of Revelation, God could easily come down from the skies and proclaim his kingdom right now. And that day is going to come. And he is going to come and he is going to be revealing himself in the fullness of his glory, clothed in white robes with a sash that says who he is. And every person in this world will recognize it. But right now, he is working through humility. He is working through this quiet humbleness, not revealing the fullness of his glory, but rather the fullness of his truth, the fullness of his grace, and allowing each person the opportunity to respond while they can. You see, Jesus had to surrender all the fullness of deity to become a baby, to become our Savior. And joy requires surrender. The fullness of joy that is pronounced on that night required Jesus to surrender. Pride had to be put away. Titles had to be set aside. And he had to become reliant upon a teenage girl. He probably had no idea what she was doing, as much most mothers feel the very first time that they have a child. And a human father who, like most of us, are more clueless than the mothers. That's what Jesus entered into. He surrendered. And for you and I, joy requires us to surrender as well. You see, we have to surrender the emotions of pride. We have to surrender the emotions of anger. We have to surrender the emotions of fear. We have to set those aside to allow the fullness of joy to work in our lives. And for you and I, in the unexpected moments of life, we are confronted with the reality of our relationship with Jesus. It's easy to look at Mary and Joseph and say, well, yeah, but they had angels speaking to them. They had messengers. They had all of this. But they were just as broken. Their relationship was almost destroyed. They get this mandate from the government that they have to go travel inconveniently to go to a different town to register. They get there. They could have walked in. Mary could have walked in and said, "Hey, We're here with the newborn king. I'm pregnant. We're important people. Let us in. Give us your best suite. No, they humbly get rejected for a place to stay, and they end up in a manger scene that we use as decoration at Christmas time. It didn't end there. After Jesus was born, there was the persecution coming to kill the baby Jesus. And so an angel tells them in a dream they needed to flee. And so they do. You see, the reality is this, is that Mary and Joseph faced this extreme, unexpected period in life. And yet, they had so much joy because they brought joy into this world. So for you and I, here's my closing questions for you. Are you going through a difficult time? Perhaps there's loss in your life. Loss of loved ones. Loss of relationships. Loss of finances. Loss of reputation. Loss of influence. Maybe you're facing the reality of personal failures. Sometimes moral failures. Maybe it's a failure of broken promises. Maybe it's a failure of not living up to what you need to be or what job you needed to do for somebody. You see, all those things can break you down. All those things can cause you this emotional distress. The question is, how does Jesus play into that? Do you have joy? Are you abiding with Jesus? Because if you're abiding with Jesus, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And that's how you get through these trials. It is when you forget about the Lord, when you become angry, not at the circumstance that you're facing, but become angry with God, and you push him aside and say, God, I don't want you involved in this. That is when you multiply your problems. Your hurts get bigger, and you find yourself in a deeper hole than where you started. Christmas is a time of great joy for some, for those who know and have a relationship with Jesus. For others, it can be a time of great despair. And the answer for those who are struggling, abide in Jesus. His joy will be given to you, and your joy will be made complete. Father God, as we close, I stand as a broken person among broken people. People who I hope in this room everybody has received the good news that the angels talked about on that evening, that a Savior has been born to all people, and that we are one of those people who responded by faith to believe in the promise of Jesus, that if we place our faith in him, we shall receive eternal life by believing in his promises and what he has done. Father, I realize there might be some in here who have never responded to that message by faith. Perhaps they've pursued it by trying to live righteously. Perhaps they've pursued it by trying to attend church and be a good person, but they've never responded to Jesus' promises that simply by believing in him for eternal life. He has done the work. He has taken care of the issue of sin. And then by believing we can have eternal life, and we have that abiding relationship with him that allows us to have the fullness of the joy that he brings. So, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who has never responded to the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that today would be the moment that they would choose, even right now, to say, Lord, I change my mind about who you are. And I believe you, and I want to have that relationship with you. Father, I pray that for all of us, for those who have proclaimed our faith in Jesus, Lord, as we go through difficult times, as we struggle with the challenges of life, as we deal with our own personal failures, our own weaknesses, our own letting people down, our own fears, our own unexpected moments of life, Lord, would you help us to tap into, by abiding in Jesus, tap into the joy that he offers, so that as we face unexpected circumstances, we can have unexpected joy in all that we do. So, Father, give us this Christmas the joy that allows us to celebrate the baby born in a manger, to celebrate that a Savior has been born, to celebrate Emmanuel, God is with us, and to celebrate that he died on the cross to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with you through faith by his works. Lord, I give you thanks. I pray your blessing upon us as we go from here into this week ahead. May we go with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.